Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 7, beginning in verse 20. We're in the section of Hebrews where the preacher is making the argument that Jesus is a superior high priest. And he's anticipated that his congregation is going to object, and that they're going to object on the grounds that, wait, Jesus is not of the tribe of Levi. And so therefore, since he's not of the tribe of Levi, he can't be a better priest, because Levi, those are the priests, but also he can't be a high priest at all. And so he's pointed out that all along this was anticipated from the writing of Psalm 110, and even pointing back to the presence of Melchizedek in the book of Genesis, that the Lord has said that I will make you to the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Father says to the Son, I will make you a priest forever of the order of Melchizedek. And today we see in verses 20 through 28 some of the implications of what that means. And the two words that really stick out in this text, and kids, actually, as you're listening to the scripture reading, you are free to raise your hand when you hear these two words read, all right? First of all, the word forever. And you know what the word forever means, of course. Forever is talking about time, right? That there's no extent, that it's forever, that it never ends. And the second word is the word uttermost. And that has to do with extent of scope, right? That Christ's salvation is that he saves to the uttermost. That there's no part of our salvation, that there's nothing that we need for salvation that he has not anticipated and that he has not provided for. So he is able to save, as we'll read, to the uttermost. So forever and uttermost, two gigantic, not that big of words, so to speak, but gigantic concepts represented. So when you hear forever and uttermost, if you want, you can raise your hand. All right. Hebrews 7, beginning in verse 20. And inasmuch as he, that is Jesus, was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath, by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests, because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever. As we think about forever, of course, we live in a rapidly changing world. In the years 1960, 1970, in that era, the largest corporation, most valuable company in the United States was General Motors. Today, General Motors does not even rank in the top 50. I'm not even sure it ranks in the top 100 of values of American companies. If you were doing your Christmas shopping 30 years ago, two of the three largest retailers were Sears and Kmart. Both stores that may exist somewhere and some presence, but generally are no more. And if you were shopping in 1990, you got none of your Christmas gifts from Amazon.com. It did not exist yet. Things change constantly. Food preferences are always changing. Political parties and political movements change constantly. Fashions change constantly, other than my neckties. These can stay forever. But we are very used to a changing world. But if we're making decisions about our eternity, brothers and sisters, if we're choosing and thinking about eternity, does it not bring us great comfort what Hebrews 7 tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have a forever priest? That when you're talking about your relationship with God, that you don't want the place of access, the source of access, to be constantly moving around, to be constantly shifting. And so it's a great comfort to us in the midst of constant change in the world that we have a forever priest. Furthermore, not only does the world around us change, but we are fickle too. We are January 5th today. How many of us are still 100% on fulfilling our New Year's resolutions? Maybe some because they don't have a New Year's resolution. Or you might be like me, I don't have any New Year's resolutions, but already I've thought at certain times, like, okay, this evening I've had enough for supper, I'm not going to eat anything else till tomorrow morning. And out come some Christmas cookies that I didn't know we still had. Or there's just a piece of candy out that's so lonely and needing to be eaten, and so just one, I'll just have one. And so even our best intentions, we fail, and we see very quickly that we are powerless people, and we see the extreme reaches, the extreme impacts of sin in our lives. And so therefore we are given here in this passage not only the good news that we have a forever priest, but that that priest is able and willing to save us to the uttermost. That's the good news. That's the good news of this passage, brothers and sisters, that you in the Lord Jesus Christ have a forever priest who can save you to the uttermost. That because Christ is a forever priest, therefore there is no detail about your salvation. There is nothing that you need to be saved 100% that He has not provided for, that He has not anticipated, that He has not and will not secure for you. He, your forever priest, saves you, His people, to the uttermost. And to that we say, amen. Praise God. We need that. How good it is. This is the high priest who we need. Or as the text puts it, this is a high priest who is fitting for us. It had to be this way in order for us to be brought near to God. Jesus is the high priest who saves us to the uttermost. And we see that this idea of Him saving us to the uttermost is really wrapped up in the mind of the author and the text that we're looking at. It's wrapped up in the fact that He is the priest forever. And we're going to look at kind of forever aspects of His priesthood in three ways. He holds the office forever. He, Jesus, that is, performs the function of the high priest forever. And He saves to the uttermost as our priest forever. So to begin with, He holds this office of priest forever. in this section of Hebrews, beginning back in the very last verse of chapter 6, verse 20, all the way through 7:28, so these 29 verses, nine times at least, this concept of forever is introduced. This is really a key concept here, that he is the forever priest. And we see it at the very beginning of our passage, right in verse 21. You are a priest forever. And then again at the end in verse 28 as well. But in between we see the concept brought up as well. And what it's telling us here is that whatever we learn about the priesthood of Christ here, whatever the importance of his priesthood is, whatever it means for you and me, we know with absolute certainty that it extends forever. And that's proven to us not only by the fact that it's mentioned several times and promised to us several times, but also it's proven by the fact that the Father swore an oath to this. He swore it. Jesus, unlike the priests of Levi, is made a priest with an oath. The Father swore to the Son, you are a priest forever. And then we see verse 24, his priesthood, in fact, does continue forever. And verse 27, we see that the sacrifice of his priesthood is valid forever, offered once for all time, never needing to be offered again. And so consequently, as this section comes to a close in verse 28, we see that he is the high priest who is perfect forever, that he is perfect in this role of high priest forever and ever. Now, we might say, well, that's fine and good and clear from the text, but why does that matter? Why is it so important to you and to me that Jesus is the high priest forever? Well, remember the Old Testament priesthood. Remember the priesthood of the Levites. All along, that priesthood was pointing forward to something better. There was always a sense in that priesthood that this is not the final priesthood. This is not the priesthood that can bring us all the way to God. This is not the priesthood that even for the priest himself, the sacrifice he offered yesterday needs to be reoffered today. Actually, the sacrifice he offers this morning needs to be offered again this evening. And again, the cycle repeats again and again and again. And so it left for the person who was really in tune with the Lord the sense that this is not really a solution. This is not a permanent answer to our relationship with God. The Old Testament priest was constantly, in essence, by his very life and example, calling people to look forward. Not only by his life was he calling people to look forward to another priesthood, but we see here even by his death. He couldn't continue forever. And in fact, it should have been a word of comfort and was to this church that heard this message, to the churches who heard that Jesus is the priest forever, when they reflected on the fact that from the year zero up to the year 70, which this book's probably written in the late 60s A.D., but in that time period of those 70 years, how many different high priests would you guess that there were? 22. Just over an average of just over 3 years that the high priest served on average. Some of their high priests did not even make it 12 months in office. Before they died or they could no longer serve. Maybe there were health things. I don't have that kind of information at my fingertips. But they were the high priesthood was a constantly churning office, constantly being filled by someone else. And here they are told that God the Father has promised the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be priests forever. And the comfort for them is the same as the comfort for us, that there's never going to be another priesthood. There's never going to be a different priesthood. Because if there is a different priesthood, then the Father's word, the Father's promise to the Son is not true. And so therefore, we know that when we have dealings with Christ, our high priest, that when we deal with the forever high priest, that we are dealing with the final high priest, the high priest who God has provided. It tells us that this covenant that the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, this is the new covenant in my blood, that this is the covenant. He's been made, verse 22, a surety of a better covenant. That this covenant will never be replaced. It will never be modified. There's not going to be further revelation given from God about, well, actually, there's been a modification in the plan of salvation. I have a different Redeemer coming for you. No, the Lord Jesus Christ is forever high priest. He is forever in this office. And that should give us, as His people then, a sense of stability. That there's never going to be a time in your life, there will never be a time in your eternity, there will never be a time in the lives of your descendants, your children, your children's children, where they need to go looking for a different high priest. The Lord Jesus Christ is priest forever. And He holds this office of priest forever. But the text tells us that not only does He hold the office forever, but that He actually functions as high priest forever as well. One of the great RP missionaries, Sam Boyle, who passed away a few years ago, he was a missionary in China, first of all, and then when the communists took over in China, he became a missionary in Japan. In his retirement years here in the States, he served on a mission board, and as his retirement years went along and he aged a little bit more, his time on the board ended, and instead of just removing his name, they made him, Sam Boyle, a board member emeritus. And when Sam received word that he had been made a board member emeritus, he said, "Oh, emeritus. Well, that's a Latin word meaning on the shelf. I'm on the shelf. I'm just a board member in name only." Well, this passage gives us the comfort that Jesus is our high priest today, right now, and for all eternity, not just in name only, but that He's our high priest in function. And we see three things drawn out, actually, in the text. So this is our second point, but under it, we'll kind of have three sub-points. Jesus fulfills the function of priest forever. And we see it breaking down into three nice sections, each of three verses. Okay, so the first function that He performs, verses 20 through 22, is that He is the surety. As our high priest, He is our surety. Now, what is a surety? Well, one place where that would come up is the thought of a down payment. Or another way that maybe even our kids are familiar with is if we go somewhere like the YMCA and want to have a basketball from the front desk, they have these balls behind the desk, and what do I have to do to get a ball? Well, I just hand them, say, something like my car keys, right? And the philosophy is this $20 basketball is very nice and all, but you probably value your keys more, right? If you leave your keys with us, or if you leave your driver's license with us, you will bring back the ball so that we can have, you'll bring us back our ball, and then we will give you back your keys or your license or whatever. Jesus is the surety. He provides assurance for us as our high priest. You might say, well, I've thought about The second and third thing that are going to come up in this passage, right? I've thought about the role of the priest as an intercessor. I've thought about the role of the priest in terms of the sacrificial function. But in what way does the priest function as a surety for the people? Well, the answer to that is, if you think about the Old Testament priesthood, how do the Old Testament saints know that they have peace with God? How does Israel as a nation know that their sacrifices have been received by God, that the covenant is still in operation? They know because the high priest makes those offerings, and then where does he go? He goes into the holy place. He goes into the holy of holy places. And if his sacrifice has not been received by God, if God is not pleased, if his guilt is not atoned for, what will happen? He will die. He will die. So his living presence behind the veil, when he enters in to the glory room of God, if you will, the fact that he comes back out alive tells the people what? You can be sure that you have peace with God. Now think about the Lord Jesus Christ then in this regard. Do we have peace with God this morning? Well, I hope you can nod your head. Yes, we do have peace with God. How do we know? How do we know? Well, we know because his sacrifice was received. Because he sacrificed himself, was raised up again, came to life, was resurrected, ascended on high, and was welcomed by the Father to the very throne room, to the very presence of God. How do we know that we have peace with God? Because God has received our priest. He's received the sacrifice that's been made for your and my sins by the Lord Jesus Christ. And how long is this presence going to continue? How long is Jesus going to be allowed to stay in the presence of the Father? Forever. He's a priest forever. And so he becomes our surety. In other words, Jesus will never be struck down or unwelcomed from the presence of God. He will not be unfriended by the Father, but is welcomed forever. And so if Jesus is your priest, then you have the surety, the promise, the guarantee that you too are received by the Father. That you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means that Jesus is our surety. That we can have assurance of salvation. That we can know with certainty that we are loved by the Father, that He has received us, that He cares for us, that our sins are forgiven because Jesus Christ is in His presence right now. Our forever high priest ministers assurance to us. The second thing that He ministers even now in fulfilling this role of being the high priest is that He intercedes. Verses 23 through 25, the second three verses. Now, there were many priests in the Old Testament. We've already covered that. And they kept dying. They couldn't continue because they kept dying. But He, because He continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. He continues in the functions of His priesthood. He not only continues in the office, see, but He continues to function. He has this ongoing, continuing priesthood. And that means if He continues in His priesthood, He intercedes forever. In other words, Jesus doesn't wake up one morning in heaven and say, you know, I'd still like to have priest, high priest on my business card, but I'd like to have a change in my job description, Father. I'm getting kind of tired of interceding for these people. I'll do something else for a while. No, He lives to make intercession for us, His people. And because He lives to make intercession for us, He is able to save to the uttermost. Here's why that is such a great comfort for us. Your priest lives forever with access forever, with the commitment to secure continually for you exactly what you need moment by moment, day by day. And what that means is that you and I cannot imagine a time in history, that we will not live in a time in history in which He is not pleading with the Father on our behalf, securing for us exactly what we need. You will not experience a time in your life where He is not doing that. You will not experience a situation in your life in which He says, Oh, I didn't know you were going to be that kind of a person. Forget it. Until you get out of that situation, my intercession is done for you until you come back. No, if you're in Christ, He lives now and He will make intercession for you forever. There's not a time, there's not a situation, there's not a problem too big There's not a problem so big that it overcomes His commitment to intercede for you and for me. And His access to the Father is so unlimited that there's not a problem that is so big that it's too big for His access. Right? What I mean by that is, you may have a friend who I come to you and I say, I could really use your friend's help in this situation. Would you be willing to ask your friend to help me? And you might say, well, yeah, I'd be happy to ask my friend to help you out in that situation. But I could come with such a big need, you'd say, yeah, that guy's my friend, but we're not that level of friends. I can't ask him to do that for you. Any need, though, that you and I have will never be too big for the intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as our intercessor, He has the perfect access, the perfect knowledge of what we need, and the diligence to get what we need. We have a great, a perfect, a forever high priest. And He functions as our surety. He functions as our intercessor. And then we see in verses 26 through 28 that He functions as our sacrifice. Look at this, verse 26. For such a high priest was fitting for us. What that word fitting there is describing is that we have a high priest who is exactly what we need. In other contexts in the New Testament, it's used in the context of, this is the way it has to be done. There aren't other options available. That what it's saying is that there is no other high priest who could meet the requirements of what we need. And particularly, He meets the requirements of what He needs in these three verses by being our perfect sacrifice. And in case we miss that point, in case we're a little unclear, verse 27 makes us recognize that He is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He is holy. That means there is no sin present. He is harmless. That means that there is no sin contemplated. He's not even thinking about sinning against someone. He's not thinking about inflicting harm and wrong. He's undefiled. He's not come into contact with sin. He's not stained by sin. And he is separate from sinners. What's that mean? Well, it means that he is not tainted by original sin. Right? He was not conceived and born into this world already with original sin, already with that guilt on him. But the fact that he's separate from sinners also means that he doesn't have other sinful affiliations that infect him with sin. Like, remember in Isaiah 6, when Isaiah is confronted with the holiness of God and he says, "Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips, but also I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." See, I not only have my own sin, but I have all sorts of sinful affiliations. He says, Jesus not only is holy, harmless, undefiled himself, but he is separate from sinners. And how do we know this? Well, verse 26 once again confirms this, that his holiness has been received and that he has become higher than the heavens. He's been received up by the Father as the acceptable sacrifice. And therefore, verse 27, as the one who is perfect, who is holy, he does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. Why is it important that you and I have a high priest who offers up himself as a sacrifice? Well, it's important because we don't just need a good teacher. Right? We don't just need a teacher to come and say, "Oh, this is the way you can do it. If you'll just live in this way, you can be reconciled to God." No, because it's too late. We've already sinned. We continue in sin. And so we need a high priest who can offer up a perfect sacrifice. And this he has done in paying for sin once for all. Another great comfort of Christ functioning as our priest with this once for all sacrifice is it means that no matter how you have sinned, or how you will sin, if you are Christ, your sin has been paid for. It's not on the credit card. Your salvation is not going to be repoed at some point. You're not going to sin in such a way that the Father is going to look on and say, "Well, the infinite worth of the sacrifice of Christ sure doesn't cover that." No, but our assurance of salvation comes from this fact that his sacrifice, his perfect sacrifice, has been offered once for all time, and it is in fact sufficient. Jesus Christ, he holds the office of priest forever. He functions in this office of our high priest forever. And what does that mean for us? It means that he is able to save to the uttermost forever. That he is our forever surety, our forever intercessor, our forever sacrifice. And that nothing that he has promised, or nothing that he has been promised by the Father, will go unprovided for. Everything that you need for salvation, his intercession provides. Everything that you need for salvation, his sacrifice has purchased. And so that makes him, as our high priest, a high priest who is able to save to the uttermost. Who is able to save you and me completely, 100%. that there is not a single detail of salvation that is left unaccounted for or undealt with, that there's no part, no even particle of your salvation that's left for you to provide, that He, the great High Priest, has provided it. And there's a thoroughness promised here. There's a thoroughness promised to us. It reminds me of that great scene in the third Lord of the Rings book, right? When Sam wakes up and he says to Gandalf, "Gandalf, I thought you were dead. But then I thought I was dead myself. Is everything sad going to come untrue? What happened to the world?" And Gandalf says, "A great shadow has departed." Is everything sad going to come untrue? Or is everything for salvation going to be provided, we could ask? And the answer to that is absolutely. He is able to save to the uttermost. And where does that leave us? Where does that leave us? Well, what that means is that those who come to God through Him, that if you're coming to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, that whatever the big sins of your life are, whatever the shame, the great shameful things of your life are, that there's not a one of those things that Jesus did not atone for and provide for and will cleanse you from. He will save you to the uttermost. That there's no habit that you have, no struggle with sin, no matter how deep, no matter how long you've been, snared by that sin, there is no sin that you have that He can't save you from, and that He has not planned for and provided for your salvation from. But isn't it a comfort that not only can we read this verse and say there's no sin so big that He hasn't paid for it, but that there's no sin so small that He hasn't also made plans, preparation, paid the price in order that we might be purified from it. That there's no detail about your eternity with God, your complete and full salvation, that has not been thought of and anticipated. And that truly it can be said by the Lord Jesus Christ, "I will wipe away every tear." Every tear. From their eyes. And so, what sin do you need to be forgiven of? What victory are you seeking? Where do you need help? Well, the text promises us and proclaims to us that if you will come to God through Him, verse 25. If you will come to God through this forever priest, that He will save you to the uttermost. The Greek word here for uttermost only shows up one other time in the New Testament. It shows up in Luke 13:11 and following. "And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said to her, 'Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity.' And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God." You could translate Luke 13:11 as, "There was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and she could not straighten up to the uttermost. She was bent over. She could in no way bring straightness to herself. And is that not an apt description of you and me? That we too are bent over by the weight of the guilt of sin, that we are bent over by the effects of sin in our lives, that there are sins that are just simply too big for us, that there are too many of them for us to deal with, and that we can't possibly begin to straighten up on our own. You and I cannot straighten to the uttermost. But what you and I cannot do for ourselves, God, through your forever priest, can do and will do if you'll come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, friends, the invitation of this text to all of us this morning is that in those places where we need help to the uttermost, that we need to not try to straighten up ourselves, but that we need to bring those to the Lord Jesus Christ, our forever priest, because he can and will save you to the uttermost. Amen. Our Lord and our God, we acknowledge that you are holy, that you are glorious beyond our imagination. And Lord, we acknowledge that our sin is ever before you and that our sin is more wicked than we could ever imagine. That we are even more crooked and more bent over than even we know. And how thankful we are, Lord, for the good news of your word. That where we are weak and broken and crooked and bent and struggling, that Lord, you've sent your Son into the world to be our forever priest. Thank you for the assurance that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ, that through him that we can know that we have peace with you because of his standing with you. We thank you, Jesus, for your continual intercession on our behalf, for securing for us all that we need to walk in your ways, for securing for us every benefit and blessing of your redemptive work. And we thank you, Jesus, that you laid down your life one time to pay the sacrifice for our sins. And so, God, we come to you now. And we come not on our own, not claiming to be able to straighten up ourselves. But we come to you with gratitude, thanking you that you have provided for us the Lord Jesus Christ as our perfect and permanent high priest. Jesus, we ask that you would continue to serve us in this way. You would continue to intercede for us, continue to minister your peace to us in the various struggles of our lives. Fill us with joy, Lord, as we reflect on your abundant goodness to us, your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.